also joining our online team now.
Yeah. Okay, so this is December 15th, 2014. Okay, so we start one time, homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, I'm going to share the screen in case I type anything. Okay, so we're doing the review of chapter 6. Okay, so last time I finished on page 89, the way sadding and paribhuto function. Okay, now we come to these tana, now I'm on page 90, tana and dhamma in compounds. Okay, so first we'll read the text and then... Oh, okay, thank you. And then I'll explain and look for some examples. Okay, so it says that the forms tana and dhamma commonly serve as the second members of compounds with the senses state of and of the nature of respectively. Okay, an example of actually the dhamma compounds are much more common than the tana compounds. And so an example of a Dhamma compound is the expression, here we have Viparinama Dhamma. And in the book, I think there is a misprint, unless it was corrected in the second edition, where it says Viparinama. It has two P's here, right?
Yes.
But it should be just one P. One P should be taken off. Okay, now when Dhamma is used as in a compound like this, it takes on the meaning having the nature of or being subject to. So Viparinama Dhamma means having the nature of change or being subject to change. So the word Viparinama means change, and specifically it's like deterioration. Change in the direction of decay, deterioration. And then Dhamma means, as a suffix, means having the nature of or being subject to. And so, for example, we have in the suttas statements like all beings are jara Dhamma or Marana. In fact, this is one of the reflections that the Buddha recommends on a daily basis. Jara dhammomhi, jaram anatito, marana dhammomhi. So jara dhammomhi. Amhi means I am. Jara dhammo means having the nature of old age or being subject to aging, being subject to old age. Marana dhammomhi, I am of the nature of death. In other words, I am subject to death. My nature is to die. And then tana as a suffix would have the meaning of or could have the meaning basis for or basis of. Like pamadatana can be a basis of heedlessness, the basis of negligence. But the, as I said, the tana compounds not that frequent. You'll see them, but they're not so common. But the dhamma compounds very common. You got kaya dhamma, vaya dhamma, nirodha dhamma, subject to vaya dhamma, kaya dhamma, subject to destruction, vaya dhamma, subject to passing away, nirodha dhamma, subject to cessation. Then in the Satipatthana Sutta, let's see, kaya kaya nopasi viharati. Samudaya dhamma kayas. Let's refresh my memory. Kaya kayupasini. Samudaya dhamma kayaspin. Oh, right, of course. Okay, here we have like Samudaya Dham Anupasi Va Kayasmin Viharati. Vaya Dham Anupasi Va Kayasmin Viharati. So, Samudaya Dham Anupasi, that means contemplating the nature of origination in the body, or contemplating the nature of vanishing in the body, or contemplating the nature of origination and vanishing in the body. So these are some examples of Dhamma in the sense of having the nature of or being subject to. Okay, then we come to locative, let's see. Okay, we read the text. The plural locative of the name of a place or a group of people is commonly used to signify in that place or among those people. So here they give the example, Anguttara Pesu. So it's a locative plural, which means amongst the people of this country called Anguttara. You can get Magadesu, means that maybe the Buddha is wandering on tour, Magadesu, amongst the Magadans. It means in the country of Magadha. Or Kosalesu, Charikang Charity. He was wandering on tour amongst the Kosalans. It means in the Kosala country. So that's very simple. Okay, so then we come to a type of Sunday. So it says, sometimes when a word ending in a stop consonant plus I is followed closely by a word beginning in a vowel, the consonant doubles and the I is lost. So here they give the formula. That's the consonant followed by an I plus a vowel. What happens is that the consonant is doubled, followed by the vowel. So they give the example, just they give one example. I wish they gave a few more. So here we have upi plus akacha, meaning some. And what happens, you could see the I has dropped out and the P has doubled.
Translation for that?
Some. This would occur. The word akacha actually means some, but if there's like a list of items where some people are doing this, some people are doing that, you would get this upe kacha. Let me see if I could find an example. Seems somebody is making a lot of noise there. You know, an example of this is actually on the next lesson on page 109 in the very top reading passage. Here we have Atako Venaga Purika Brahmana Gahapatika Yena Bhagavatain Upasanka Mingsu. Okay, so this is the Brahmin householders of the city of Venaga approach the Blessed One. Then we have Upasanka Mitva Uppe Kache Bhagavantang Abhivadetva Ekamantang Nisi Dingsu. So some paid homage to the Buddha or to the Blessed One and sat down to one side. Then upe kache bhagavata sating samodingsu. Some others exchanged cordial greetings with the Blessed One and sat down to one side. Then upe kache namagotang savetva ekamantang nisi dingsu. So some others announced their name and clan and sat down to one side. Then upe kache tuni buddha ekamantang nisi dingsu. Some others, just remaining silent, sat down to one side. You see, so that expression would be used when there's a sequence of items which are parallel.
Question?
Yeah.
Why is there an apostrophe between the Akka and Kachi?
Excuse me?
Why is there an apostrophe after the second P? Shouldn't it be closed?
Does yours have the apostrophe?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they changed it. May I just say you're the close? Let's see the closest one. Do you have this version? Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Yeah, they're saying.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. In the reading passage, mm-hmm. though not on page 90.
No.
Yeah, I think it's just to show that this is a Sandhi, mm-hmm. that it's not a single word, upe kache, but that it's formed by putting together upi plus a kache. Mm-hmm. In the Asian scripts, they don't, or at least traditionally, they don't use apostrophes. It's all just written straight letters.
Thank you, Bhakti.
Excuse me?
Thank you.
In fact, in the older Asian script editions, they didn't even use spaces between words. Yeah, you have to figure out where the different words stop, where words end and begin. At least I remember using Burmese script edition many years ago. Yeah, Kim?
Yeah, so typically it would drop the I and not the E, right? Like the end of the first word, the first compound, but not the beginning of the second compound, right?
Yeah, usually the general rule is when there's a union of vowels, the weaker vowel will drop and the stronger vowel will remain. Though there's all sorts of variations. So I say this is just the general rule. It's not an absolute and variable rule. So I is considered a weaker vowel than E. So the I would be dropped.
And is that because it terminates, it's the end of the first one, and the E is the beginning of the second one? Is that
no, that's not what determines weaker? Strength.
Oh.
It's just, I don't know. E is considered to be a kind of combination. It's like sort of like mixing colored paints. So E is considered to be, from mixing an I and an A together, you get an E. Just like from mixing a U and an A, you get an O.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
I had one more
so
question.
So any questions on the, yeah.
About the vowels, how do you know which are the weaker ones?
Let's say short A is the weakest. Well, oh. as a rule, long vowels, the long A, I, U, are stronger than the short vowels. Mm-hmm. I and U are stronger than the short A. In the battle between the I and the U, I don't know which one is stronger. And then E and O, because they're considered to be the products of a merger of respectively I and U with A, they are considered to be stronger than the short A, I, U.
I have a question, if I may, about the sentence and the further reading on this page.
Yeah, please.
I was struggling with this, the second phrase of number one, Yeko Keichi Bhagavato, and the meaning of Keichi as an interrogative pronoun, but...
No, it's not interrogative.
I just don't... It's like I understand that the CI is attached, but I don't really understand the meaning it gives.
Yeah, putting the CI to a pronoun or to an interrogative pronoun changes it from an interrogative to the sense, you have to take ye keichi together, like some. Ye keichi is just simply some. So in this case, some disciples of the Blessed One dwell with energy aroused, I am one of those. Actually, the ye keichi is sort of coordinated with taesung. So, I am one of those disciples of the Blessed One who dwell with energy aroused. I think, let's say another example. Let's find one. I think there's a good example at the end of the Satipatthana Sutta. Okay, here we have let's take the first one. Okay, here we have Yo He Kochi. Can you see it? This one. Yo He Kochi Ime Chitaro Satipatane Evang Bhaveya Satavasani Tasadvinang Palanang Anyatarang Palang Pati Kankang Dite Vidame Anya Sativa Upadi Sese Anagamita. So Yo He Kochi is simply whoever. So whoever should develop thus these four foundations of mindfulness for 7 years, then for him, of two fruits, a certain fruit, and this word patikankan means to be expected, is to be expected, either liberating knowledge right here and now, or if there is some residue remaining, the state of non-returning.
So, Bande, in this case, Yo He Kochi is, what's the word you use to relate a tasa?
Yeah, it's coordinated.
Coordinated.
Yeah, yeah, or corresponds to tasa.
Tasa.
So, Yo He Kochi means whoever does X for him. This is to be expected. So you see the sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just.
Yeah, we'll find up many other examples. It's very common.
Because the book refers to it as an indefinite pronoun, and I don't know what that meant.
I think in the sense it's not referring to a specific person, but it's saying in this case, those who in general are disciples of the Blessed One, or in the Satipatthana Sutta, whoever, it's not saying if such and such a person does that, but if anyone does that. Any other questions? Okay, then let us move on to the grammar of lesson 7. Optative. Okay, so it's saying that these are optatives which are formed on the basis of YA as the optative ending. And then it gives, okay, so it says that a few verbs, including deity, which means to give, janati, one knows, karoti, one does, sometimes appear with an optative formed with the suffix ya. And actually one comes across these forms mostly in verse, in poetry, because this form is used because it just has two syllables. So it's easier when trying to fit a line into a meter. So the normal optatives would be tadeya, this would be third person singular, dadeya, janeya, kareya, and so we could have the forms dadja, that means one should give, janya, one should know, or more rarely janya, I'm not familiar with that. And kariya, and what happens here, there's something that occurs occasionally in Pali. There's a word for this. There's an inversion of consonants takes place. Like the grammatically correct form would be kariya, but maybe because Pali was based on spoken languages, and so it turns into kaira, an inversion takes place. I think it's called metamstasis, change of position.
Metamstasis?
I think it's metemstasis. So just know that when you see kaira, it means should do or should make. Okay, then they give you the optative of the verb ati, which means to be, to exist. And you can see the first person and third person singular and the third person plural. Two forms are used, and they're both used. I don't know any rule that governs their usage. They're both common. So you just have to be able to recognize them when they occur. And the third person singular, asa, gets very confusing because asa is also one of the genitive pronouns. Asa, for him, for it. So you have to be able to distinguish it when you come across asa. Is this the optative, third person singular, or is it the pronoun meaning his or for him? Okay, let's go on to the next section. Okay, this is what is called the future passive participle. Some have called it the optative participle. Others call it the gerundive, which is spelled like this, not to be confused with the gerund. Metastasis. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Metastasis is a spread of a cancer. Sorry.
Metastasis.
Oh, I'm sorry. No result. So there must be another term. I don't remember. Okay, so the future passive participle gives to a word the sense of what should be done, what might be done, what can be done. And it's formed from a number of different suffixes, which are used, some verbs tend to take one suffix rather than another. Some verbs take several of the suffixes. So one of them is tabba, another is niya, aniya. Also, sometimes simply the ya is used to create a future passive participle. Okay, so for the verb gachati, we have gantaba, should be gone. And this could be used to describe a path, for example. Ayang mago gantabo. So this path should be gone, which doesn't mean the path goes away, but it means that this is, in English we would say, this is the path that should be taken. Metathesis, okay, Ayasantusika got it. Metathesis is, yeah, to put in a different order, transposition, the rearranging of sounds or syllables. Okay, so gantaba should be gone. Sotaba should be heard. So he could say, for example, Bhagavata Desito Dhammo Sotabo. The Dhamma taught by the Blessed One should be heard, should be listened to. Okay, then for the verb karoti, you could see that there's a number of forms that are possible. Either kataba or kataba, then karaniya, based on the niya termination, and then kicha, which is formed by adding ya. And then what happens is that the y gets assimilated to this. I think this, yeah, because in Sanskrit it would be kritya, whoops. In Sanskrit it would be formed as kritya, and then in Pali this becomes kicha, which takes on a special meaning. It turns into a noun meaning task, duty, function. Okay, then bhavati becomes bhavitabha, what should be. And then this has an extended meaning, especially in the form bhava, as what is possible. Then charity means, which means to, originally meaning to walk, and then by extension to practice. So charitabha, what should be practiced. I think from the verb gum, we can also get gamaniya, to be gone. But I think the other verbs, except for karaniya, we would only get sotaba, bhavitaba, charitaba. Oh, okay, there are more on the other page. the next page. Okay, Janati has a number of possibilities. Jani Tabba, what should be known. The Nyatabha is very not so common, I think. Nyaya is common. What can be known, or what should be known. Then the future passive participles of the verb pasati, to see, are formed of another verb meaning to see, which is the verb dasati. So here one gets dattaba, what should be seen, and then this is also used in the sense of to be understood. You know, like a point is to be seen, to be understood. Then we have the forms dasaniya as well. Dasaniya seems rather rare. Okay, then pujeti, the verb pujeti. We have the future passive participle pujaniya, that is to be worshipped, to be venerated. Then the verb hanati, kills, gives the future passive participle hantaba, to be killed or to be injured. Then the verb deiti, we can have two forms, dattaba, to be given. Then we have the form based on the YA ending, deya, also what is to be given, what should be given. From the verb pivati, to drink, we get peya. And peya comes almost to mean a drink itself, something that can be drunk. And pataba, should be drunk. And then for labhati, which means to get, to obtain, the form that they give here, it's a little irregular, ladaba, what should be obtained. But we could also have a form labhaniya. Same meaning. I wish they had given some sentences rather than just a list of words. Yeah.
So the sutta called the Karaniya Metta.
Yeah.
How? But that would mean the metta that should be done.
No, because it goes karaniyang atakusalena yangtang santang padang abhisamecha. So the karaniyang, what should be done by one who is skilled in the good, atakusalena, yangtang santang padang abhisamecha, who would realize that peaceful state. So then what should be done are the things that are mentioned in the next verses. Uju, let's see, karning atkosalendi yangtang santa. Sako uju cha suju cha. So he should be capable, honest, upright. Chasamudu anatimani. He should be gentle, not arrogant. So all of those things that are mentioned are the things that karaniyam, that should be done.
So Bhante, it's actually karaniyam atta, is that right? It's not karaniyam metta.
No, it's not metta, no. It's okay. It's karaniyam atta. Atta means what is good.
Oneself? Oh,
no, it's not self, it's A-T-T-H-A.
H.
Yeah, meaning good, what is good or beneficial. Yeah.
The word kicca?
Yeah.
That's a noun. That's a noun. It's like a duty and task. But also, does it function as a optative verb? Or is it always a noun?
I think it's pretty much turned into a noun. It was originally the optative participle, but it's, I think it's completely taken on the function of a noun. Yeah, we could see some of the future passive participles if we go to the further readings on page 104. So, tayo me brahmana agi pahataba parif. Vajetabha nasevitabha. So there are, O Brahman, these three fires, pahataba, which should be abandoned, pari vajetabha, which should be avoided, then nasevitabha, which should not be served, should not be cultivated. And then what are the three? Okay, the fire of lust, fire of hatred, fire of delusion. Or in page 98, at the top we have the Buddha speaking to a Brahman. He says, Nahang Brahmana sabang ditang basi tabanti vadami. Napanahang Brahmana sabang ditang na basi tabanti vadami. So he's saying, I do not say, O Brahman, that all that is seen, everything that is seen, basitabhang, should be spoken about. And I do not say that everything that is seen should not be spoken about. Okay, so those are some examples of the use of the future passive participle here. We have in the Buddha's first discourse, he says, okay, idang dukang arya satchanti. See, tang dukang arya satchang pari nyeyang. So that noble truth of suffering, pari nyeyang, should be fully understood. So pari nyeyang, that's a future passive participle. And then this is the noble truth of the origin of suffering, tang dukkha samudaya satchang pahatabang, that noble truth of the origin of suffering should be abandoned. Then tang dukkha nirodhang arya satchang sachi katabang, that noble truth of the cessation of suffering should be realized. Ting de dong ma? Ting de dong. And that noble truth of the path, tang dukkha niroda gamini patipaddang arya satchang, bhave tapang, the noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering, bhave tapang, should be cultivated. In Chinese, it's a little bit like the ying, putting ying in front of what should be done. Okay, so let's see, they have at least a couple of examples here. Okay, so we have where a monk is described as Anjali Karaniyo. That means, here we have the future passive participle Karaniyo, and it's compounded with Anjali. Anjali is what they call, the Japanese call Gassho. So this is, that monk is worthy of Anjali. He's one to whom Anjali should be done. Then we have, this is from the Mangala Sutta, Pujacha Pujaniyanam. So, worship or veneration of those worthy of veneration. Sevana cha balanang panditanang cha sevana puja cha pujaniyanang etang mangalam uttamang. So any questions at this point? Wow, so much grammar.
So Bhante?
Yeah.
Can you use the optative and future passive participle interchangeably?
One would have to change the structure of the sentence. They can be used to convey the same meaning, but the sentence structure would have to change. For example, suppose somebody says, one person is speaking to another and says, you should go by this path, or you should take this path. So one way to say that would be tvang imina magena gacheya. This is using the optative. So tvang, you, imina magena, by this path, gacheya, should go. Okay, so that's one way to say it. Another way would be using the future passive participle, you would say now I've forgotten how to say you in the instrumental. Taya ayang mago gantabo, or ayang mago te gantabo, this path by you should be gone. You see, you're changing the structure of the sentence. You can't simply take the future passive participle and put it in place of the optative, if you use the optative verb, then the sentence will have one structure. If you use the optative participle, then the structure of the sentence has to change.
But the instrumental is for the you, not for the past.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying, taya ayang mago gantabo, by you, ayang mago, this path then becomes nominative, gantabo, should be gone, should be taken.
So, Bande, could we understand that when we use future passive participle, the subject should be modified into instrumental case?
The normal subject,
yeah,
the active subject, yeah, would become in the instrumental case.
And for the optative case, we just use as a nominative for the subject.
The optative participle would come,
yeah,
as, in that kind of sentence, it would come as a nominative because it's the grammatical subject of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you should do this task. I'm speaking to a group of people. So, tumhe imang idang kichang karot kareyata. So tumhe, you, plural, imang kichang, this task, kareyata, should do. So you should do this task. So that's one way to say it. Another way, using the optative participle, tumhehi imang kichang katabang, by you, this task should be done.
So, one is a passive.
Yeah. When you use the participle, then the sentence becomes a passive sentence. Whereas when you use the optative, it's an active form. Any other questions? I know grammar sounds so abstract when you just hear the principles, which is why I always prefer to mix grammatical explanations with reading. Okay, then we come next to the word atta, meaning self. Here it's being used as a reflexive. Reflexive has the sense of, in English, doing something by oneself, doing something for oneself. Can you say that in Chinese? I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, reflexive. It's like there's here.
Yeah, oh, maybe maybe it's... Yeah, maybe that there's no such thing in Chinese. Okay, let me give some. Let's take some examples. Okay, from Pali. Okay, so here he has one example. Yada tumhe atanava janayata. So this is when you know. Then atana here is by yourselves. You see, it's not knowing something by the metaphysical self, by the Atman, or by a, is it the Shunwo, is that the expression used? Mm. Shunwo, you know, the divine self.
Shunwo.
Yeah. It's just like ordinarily in ordinary speech.
Yes.
Or like, you must purify yourself. Mm. Let's say the Dhammapada has a number of examples. Okay, here's a good example. Okay, let's take the next one, it's better. Okay, atana hi katang papang atajang atasambhavang. Okay, let's just take the first line here. Okay, so papang is evil, katang is done, atana by oneself. And atajang, it's born from oneself. Atasambhavang, it originates from oneself. Now, it's not indicating that this is the metaphysical self, the self of the Vedanta, but it's just using the word self in an ordinary sense. Let's see if we have some other examples. Okay, so sukarani asaduni atano ahitani cha. So sukarani means easy to do. Asaduni are things that are not good. In other words, things that are bad. Atano ahitani cha. Ahitani means what is harmful, atano, to oneself. Okay, then here we have atanahi katang papang. Okay, by oneself, evil is done. Atana sankilisati, by oneself, one is defiled. Atana akatang papang. By oneself, evil is not done. Atanava visujati. By oneself alone, one is purified. Okay, so those are some examples of the word self being used reflexively.
Pante?
Yeah.
This question comes. Isn't atan just reflexive all the time? Or
no, I mean when it's used, sometimes it's used in the sense of what like we call the metaphysical self, what the Buddha is denying. So when it speaks about how the ordinary worldling views body as the self, or the self as possessing the body, self as in the body, body in the self, that's the self being used in what I call the metaphysical sense. So that is sort of ruled out by Buddhism. But the self as just a term referring to the ordinary person, that is okay. Okay, then we have negatives, no and ma. Okay, first they explain ma. Ma is a what's called the prohibitive particle. That means it's the word used in negative commands. I think this is like in Chinese is wu, is that it? Meaning don't. Yeah. What, like, or bear, right?
Bear.
Bear shuo wa. Don't speak.
Don't forget me.
Wu wang wo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so ma is the negative command. So here we have ma sadang akata. Don't make a noise. Oh, and this is an interesting point. It's a little tricky point. Usually, when a negative command is given in Pali, the verb form that's used with ma is the aorist. But here, the aorist doesn't take on the past tense, or it doesn't refer to the past, but it refers to the action that is being prohibited. So when a positive command is given, then one uses the imperative. Like nagarang gachahi. So, go to the city, go to the town. So that's the imperative. Vang nagarang gachahi, you, go to the city. But if I want to prohibit, then I say, tvang ma nagarang agamasi or agachi, you, don't go to the city. And there the word don't go, the go is the aorist, usually. So here we see example of this. Don't, this is second person plural, don't make any noise. For the singular, ma sadang akasi, do not make a sound, a noise. Here in the next we have the ma used with the optative, ma pamadang anuyunjeta. You should not indulge in indolence. So this is the second person plural optative. And sometimes ma will be used with the imperative. Like they give the case here, ma gacha. But usually it's used with the aorist. Then no as a negative gives a little bit more emphasis. So they just give one example here. Aso dhammo kusalo nova. So this dhamma is good or not? Is this dhamma good or not? What time is it?
2:20, roughly.
Wow, I think we should take a break. Or maybe we could finish this quickly. 80, just look at it. Okay, sache and che both express the idea of if. The difference between them is sache they have the same meaning. They're basically the same word. But such a will usually come at the beginning of a sentence, whereas che never comes at the beginning of a sentence. It's what they call a clitic form. That means it's a form that comes inside the sentence. So the example, let's first take the second example with such a. So here we have such a labeta nipakang sahayang. If you should gain a wise friend. So the beginning, it's the beginning of a sentence, so we have such a. But in the previous example, the word for if is coming inside the sentence. So, aham che eva kopana musavadi asang. If I were to be a speaker of falsehood. You see? Ahan che. So the che comes inside the sentence. Ting de dong. Maybe take the break now. I'm getting tired. Hey, you had a break. Okay. 2:20, so we'll till 2:30.